What's up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz, presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. How are we doing, Jack?
A little bit tired, Nick. Been staying up late watching draft coverage, watching Draft Express videos, but it's all for a good cause.
All for a good cause. I give Jack a lot of credit staying up super late last night to watch a draft, and then he's up late right now recording this, and that's what we're talking about today. The Nets made two picks last night, number 29, Jonathan Musa, and number 40, Rodion Skuroks. So both guys, Jack's going to correct me on the pronunciations because he always nails that. But I'm pretty happy with both picks. International draft for the Nets, and it looks like they got a lot of value.
Yeah, they certainly did. You know, John was projected to be, you know, a lot higher. His upside, you know, a lot of teams were sort of looking at him as a draft and stash prospect. But, you know, he said in plenty of his interviews that, you know, he felt it in his heart that he wanted to be in the NBA and he deserved to be in the NBA. And the Nets sort of pounced on that. Rodion's has also been, you know, scouted quite heavily by the Nets for a couple of years now, and you know they've watched him, you know, do some of his workouts, and you know they've decided to pounce on him, you know, despite a lack of playing time in Barcelona. I feel like, you know, they're both in a great situation, and you know, sure, Marcus is still in a little bit of Spurs style about and getting some Euro flavor to the squad. And I just like both of these picks. I feel like the sure Marcus is going to work his wonders again, and then, you know, it's going to be up to Coach Kenny and everyone else, Thiago Splitter and the rest, to do their thing, and I think that they will.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it feels like they got really nice value at 29 and 40. Before we break it down, just a quick reminder, you can check out The Buzz on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, YouTube, and Google Play. But let's start with number 29, Jonathan Musa. What do you love about his game?
He could score, man. Like, he's just a flat-out scorer. Like, I just see shades of, like, you know, Jamal Crawford about him in terms of his wily sort of frame about him. He's just not afraid to sort of shoot him no matter where and what he is on the floor. He's decent on the inside. I mean, obviously, his frame, it will develop. I mean, I think I was listening to Nate Duncan on their sort of draft recap podcast, and they said that, like, you know, they reminded him a little bit of Caris LeVert, obviously having that sort of skinny frame, but also being, you know, athletic and ability to do well inside. I think that they're way different in that sort of sense. But, you know, we're sort of looking for a scorer to sort of come off the bench, give us that punch. Joe Harris was awesome for us last year. Different sort of skill set, but, you know, he's not afraid to – he's just not afraid. And that's just one sort of thing. I love the confidence about both of these guys, Jalen in particular. You know, we probably got the – it wasn't a very international-heavy draft, but I think we probably got the outside of Doncic, the two best sort of international prospects.
Yeah, I would agree, and that's what I've been seeing on a lot of the draft websites. Like you said, you know, Jana is a scorer. He's confident. He's fearless. He can drive to the rim. He has some nice size. He needs to add the strength. You mentioned the coaching staff. Also, I think the performance team has to do a lot of work with these guys, and I think they could benefit from a summer over here, obviously. You know, and I think the one thing you love about him, he's only 19 years old. You know, you have the opportunity to really develop his skills. And like you said, there is some issues. You know, there's the shot selection isn't great, but I think his shooting percentages don't reflect what type of shooter he is. So he could definitely improve in that area. What do you think he really needs to work on?
I think his defensive sort of capabilities and engagement on that end. I feel like a lot of it is sort of, you know, his body. He does have the effort, and he did mention, like, you know, that he's going to be hard on defense. I feel like that's one area of the floor. Probably sort of being that with that sort of sharpshooting mentality, that Jamal Crawford mentality, learning to play within the system. Coach Kenny obviously preaches that and then some. You know, D'Angelo had his issues with it at times last season, as do all players, sort of reigning in their sort of, you know, individual sort of killer mentality at times. But I think Jonathan will be left to flourish, and, you know, summer league's going to be a fun time to watch him, as will the preseason. But I feel like, yeah, playing within a system and obviously the defensive side of the floor. But, you know, the defensive side of the floor is one area that a lot of our Nets need to improve on as well.
Yeah, it's like pretty much all of his weaknesses are similar things you see with a lot of prospects coming to the NBA. Defense, focus, shot selection. Obviously, he can improve on the boards a little bit. What do you think are some unknowns about him where the Nets can really unlock that we haven't seen from his game yet?
I feel like he's got an ability to sort of be a ball handler and a passer. He's got really great size. Like you, we were sort of chatting a little bit off wax. You know, he can play 1, 2, 3, or 4 even. You know, 6'9". Some of his Draft Express videos show some really sort of nifty passing abilities. You know, I feel like he's got that ability to sort of like how Ben Simmons as a 6'10 sort of guy can just see over the floor and just make those really adept passes. I feel like that's an underrated game of his. We know that he can score, but I feel like, you know, within our system, I feel like his passing could be utilized really well as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think his passing, he's shown flashes, and we've seen different videos along the draft websites. And you mentioned even the development of a guy like Joe Harris has improved as a passer. You could see that with Jonna as well. I think obviously there's some pick and roll potential, and you mentioned the versatility. I think that's the one piece I really like about him is his 6'9 frame, his ability to handle the ball, his ability to score, shoot, a lot of versatility, his ability to improve as a passer. There's a lot to like if he can add on that strength department, work on the shot selection, and just be not an amazing defender. He's just got to be a solid defender, you know, a guy who's going to put in a lot of effort and do his best to stay in front of his man.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for him in that sort of sense. Obviously, the summer is going to be a huge sort of focal point for him, sort of like you were mentioning, the performance stuff, the nutrition stuff, you know, adding that mass, adding that muscle. But at the same time, you know, Jamal Crawford's been like, you know, 80 kilos, however many pounds that is. I don't really know the conversion. I'll have to get my girlfriend to tell me that. But, you know, there's guys that are skinny and are going to work out. You know, Chris Aspelzingas was very slight with his frame. He got that, you know, famed trainer who sort of turned him into a jacked up monster. I don't think that we want to sort of take that away because that was, well, we want to sort of keep Jana's sort of speed and versatility about him to sort of move the floor well, because he is really good in transition as well. He's got really nice pace about him, a decent first step, but you know, he can get caught on both ends in terms of being a little bit lackadaisical at times.
Yeah, I think you want to keep the quickness, because have you seen some people describe him of having the frame of a forward and the speed of a guard? So if he's able to kind of keep that and, you know, just get more solid moving forward, and we know the Nets performance team is one of the best, and they're going to make sure that, you know, keep his strengths to his side and not give him any more weaknesses. So it's going to be really impressive. What do you expect to see from him this season? You know, can we expect to see him getting solid rotation minutes, not many minutes? What do you expect?
I absolutely hope to see, and I believe that he will, Nick. I believe he's got the talent to sort of, you know, slot himself in off the bench. And, you know, who knows, he could slot in and start at times, you know, sort of being able to space the floor. If he plays at the four, replaces maybe Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at times, depending on injury and circumstances, next to Jared Allen. You know, Jared Allen's got the defense. Jonathan's got the offense. That's a nice little 1-2 punch there, you know. And because he has that positional versatility, you know, if there are injuries, Coach Kenny can go, look, we're going to need you to play a little bit of the two tonight. Or defensively, he can be hidden if need be as well, because, you know, Caris LeVert has some size about him, as does Spencer Dinwiddie. We've got a lot of these guys, as we mentioned before, that sort of have size about them, and they can sort of, you know, be wily enough and be capable enough there so that we can hide Musa if need be. But I expect to see some, you know, nice streaky nights. I feel like we're going to see some highlights of plenty from him and D'Angelo. I feel like, you know, we're just getting some, building the roster very slowly but surely, but, you know, we're getting the right pieces. And, you know, what do you think, Nick? Are you looking forward to seeing Jonathan Strotty's stuff at Barclays?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I think, like I said, at 29, getting a player like this at the age of 19 with a lot of capabilities, a lot of potential, and a versatility skill set that can kind of fit the new NBA, I think going to this season, I wouldn't be surprised if you see something similar to Jared Allen's season in a sense. Not that he'll start by the end of the year, but I think he might start a little bit slow, get minutes here and there, and then when it comes, you know, January and February, his minutes start to pick up. And like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a couple explosive nights. You know, I could see him having a night where he knocks down 5 threes, or a night where he puts up 20 points just because he gets super hot, because that's been a thing, you know, mentioned with him. He has the ability to just be a scorer, and he's fearless and confident. And, you know, listen to Kenny a little bit on the radio. He mentioned him just being an aggressive scorer, and that's a skill in the NBA. You know, guys can score, but sometimes that extra level of confidence just brings you to another level.
Yeah, aggression is one thing, like we sort of talked about with Alan Crabb, that he sort of lacked a little bit. And, you know, if he can see sort of Jalen doing his thing, if he can see Rookie sort of putting it up there in that sort of sense, then that's going to be like, it's going to probably feed the sort of, it creates a bit of energy and buzz about the sort of squad. No pun intended, obviously. But I just really like him. And I also like that, you know, he's got a history with Yusuf Nurkic as well. He's got a little bit of a mentorship happening there. The second Bosnian via Nets daily to play for the Nets with Mirza Deletovic. So, you know, Jonathan's got all these tools to be a really sort of capable NBA player. And, you know, this is also a reading on NBA on Nets daily. NBA Draft Net called him one of the best scorers of his generation in Europe, which is it's really high praise. So the fact that we've got this guy sort of fills the need for us as well. So it just works out well.
Yeah, and I can't get over the fact that he's 19. I love drafting super young players, because I think you can just kind of mold them a little bit more than a guy who's been in college for 4 years, or, you know, is in the low 20s or mid 20s. So I think that's definitely an advantage for the Nets. And What do you expect from him long term? Like, where do you think he fits in? Is he going to be like this long term bench piece the Nets have, where they're bringing him off the bench and he's a nice 3-point shooter and you can see him playing in Brooklyn for a while?
Look, he has the potential to be a sixth man of the year contender. You know, there's been comparison of him, you know, Rodney Hood, Marco Bellinelli, as I mentioned earlier, Jamal Crawford. I feel like he's got potential to be, you know, just a really solid NBA player for a long time. You know, you don't want to put ceilings on any player. And I know Coach Kenny sort of mentions that and then some. So I'm in a similar sort of vein. I don't think that we want to sort of put anything on him because he has that such untapped potential and such a high level of talent that, you know, we don't know. He could be a high level rotation player, or he could be a high level starter, or he could be, you know, fringe all-star. We don't know because there's just such raw elements to him. And as you mentioned, being at such a young age, you know, the potential is huge and huge.
Yeah, and it seems like he has a lot of drive and a lot of confidence. I'm just looking forward, and I just like the way that he can fit in with so many different pieces with his versatility. And I think he's a piece that, you know, can help other players kind of be better having him on the floor to stretch it. And he's a great asset, 6'9", that you could arguably put at the 2, 3, or 4 if he adds to his strength. But moving on to the 40th pick, Rodions. I'm not going to even try to pronounce his last name a second time. This is a guy who was connected to the Nets even last year, drafting in the first round. What are your thoughts able to get him at number 40?
The fact that Sean Marks got his guy, was able to scout him and sort of just settle on him. And, you know, there was rumors going around even last year that he had potential to be a lottery guy. The fact that he slipped so much was possibly due to his lack of playing time in Barcelona. Obviously, you know, the European League sort of favor guys that are wanting to sort of play their sort of style and aren't going to just leave them and head to the NBA. So, and Rodion's Kurat certainly had lofty goals, and he's gonna, I feel like he's similar in a sense to Jadon. You know, he's got a great 3-point shooter, a decent dunker. He's got all these sort of different things about him that's going to be untapped. There's a real unknown about him. I'm sure that he might spend some time in the G League a little bit, and I don't think that's going to necessarily be a bad thing for him, but you know, I feel like he could see some minutes as well because, you know, 3-point shooting, a guy's a small ball four, you know, similar to, obviously probably doesn't have the upside and versatility that Musa does, but at the same time, you know, very intriguing piece.
Yeah, another great, you know, complimentary player moving forward. Like you said, possibly a stretch four that you can bring off the bench. He's got some nice size to him as well at 6'9". And he's a guy that, like you said, you know, at Barcelona, he didn't get to play a ton because obviously agreements with the coach or whatever, or what their mentality is. And also he's dealt with injuries. So I think getting some playing time, getting some time with the Long Island Nets can really benefit him. Getting him over here, I think it's really interesting. And I just love the fact that we're able to get him at 40. And he's a guy people regarded as maybe a 20 to 30 pick last year.
Yeah, and the fact that he slipped so much to us, you know, Sean Marks is obviously going to pounce on that. And the fact that he's got that history sort of, you know, scouting him in LA before, it just works out perfectly. And, you know, Nick, what do you think Rodion's potential is? Do you think that he has a potential to see some minutes this year? He's mentioned, I'm sure that he might see some minutes against New York for those that haven't seen the quote as well.
Yeah, I think he could get some. I think his minutes, if they did come with the Brooklyn Nets, will be later in the season. I think early on, unless he has a really impressive summer league or offseason, his minutes probably will be with the Long Island Nets early in the year. Because, like I said, not getting to play a ton, he's only 20 years old as well. You know, another young piece. I think he'll just need to kind of work on his game. Obviously, there's been talk about him having some nice basketball IQ already. He's got the shooting touch, like you mentioned, explosive at the rim. I think weaknesses, obviously, kind of similar to Musa. Defense, he could improve as a rebounder, you know, and then just some of the basic things. But other than that, I really like him as well. Like I said, getting these guys at 29 and 40, I know I've harped on it a lot. I think it's a great, great value.
Yeah, and again, like sort of like I was mentioning with John, you know, fills the need for us. You know, we don't really have that stretch four. We were talking about in the draft and in terms of free agency as well. We wanted that stretch four. Rodion's fills that need. He's not obviously going to be NBA ready right away. You know, you can't just throw him in there. But he has the potential to sort of fill a need, and whether that's off the bench or starting, depending on where he is. But I hope he sees some minutes, at least against his former countryman in the Knicks, Kristaps Porzingis, because he said that he can't wait to kick his ass and dunk all over him. I love these two guys' mentality. We're talking about their confidence, their sort of their swag about him. I feel they're going to fit in Brooklyn perfectly.
Yeah, they definitely bring some swag to the team, some confidence. I actually was cracking up at the press conference. I caught the end of it, and I thought it was amazing just seeing these guys come over here and talk and ready to go. And at the same time, they were still humble, saying they want to prove to the coaches what they can bring to the Nets and prove they can play in this league. But were you surprised last night that the Nets didn't trade up? I know both of us were on record of saying we expected, you know, 60 to 70% chance the Nets would make a trade. Obviously, the Mozgov-Howard trade happened a couple days ago, but were you surprised they didn't trade up in the draft?
Yeah, somewhat, Nick. But at the same time, hearing Sean Marks' comments, you know, it doesn't come as a surprise because he said that, you know, he was sort of happy with the roster that we have right now in terms of the vets and, you know, the guys that were being rumored around, Dinwiddie, Carroll, RHJ. You know, I feel like culture-wise and in terms of sort of alluring free agents and, you know, getting wins on the board, you know, it can't hurt to have that continuity. And I feel like, you know, in terms of building that culture, obviously part of the reason why we didn't keep Dwight Howard on the books, I feel like it's not a bad thing. It would have been nice to sort of see someone around that sort of 15 range. You know, who knows, we could have got the 14th pick from Denver and we could have had Michael Porter Jr. on our books. And that would have been nice. But at the same time, you know, the Nets are going to make the most out of any situation that they have. Were you disappointed or were you, I know I was a little bit surprised, but were you disappointed at all, or were you happy with the decision to sort of stay fit with 29 and 40?
The way listening to Sean Marks, it seems like teams were asking for too much to move up. It's like they wanted to get a player and then also give off a salary dump for still trading up and you giving them a pick. You know, it felt like a situation. I think in general, in terms of the NBA last night, I expect to see a lot more salary dumps. It felt like teams were being stingy with the picks and it didn't seem like the right trade was there. Like I kind of mentioned to you off the pod, like I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot more picks for next year's draft this offseason since we didn't see a lot of trades last night.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the picks were held at a premium this year. And
yeah,
you know, next
exactly.
year with the sort of draft sort of leveling out a little bit in terms of, you know, the lottery odds, you know, that might change a little bit. And then obviously with the 2021 possible year happening where the one and done rule could be scrapped, that could be one of the more intriguing drafts in recent memory as well. So I feel like teams are being a little bit more careful with it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because, you know, the Nets are going to have their own next year, finally. But at the same time, you know, it would have been nice to sort of, you know, hit those teams or get a little bit higher. But, you know, I'm happy with what we've got and, you know, there's greener pastures ahead.
Yeah, and it'll definitely be interesting to see if these guys play in Summer League. Sean Marks mentioned that they may not because they just came off big seasons themselves internationally. So also just a couple things about Sean Marks. He personally scouted these guys, and it seemed at the press conference that he really loves them. And both guys are already, he said, are coming over this year. I believe Rodions already has a four-year contract with the Nets via Draft Express reported it.
Yep, and the buyout as well for Janan, I believe the Nets are contributing $675,000 in terms of NBA rules, in terms of international buyouts. So no issues there on the Nets' behalf. But, yeah, to be able to sort of have as well, you know, we're talking about the sort of salary cap flexibility. To have two rookies who could be contributing to this team in the future is just another piece to have. And, you know, if, you know, you end up needing to move them or they're some sort of trade asset, I don't see that being a case, you know, anytime soon. But, you know, the way that Sean Marks is building this roster from the ground up is something to be marveled at. And, you know, these two picks are just emblematic of it.
Yeah, and I just love the versatility and the age of these guys and how they can fit. Like you said, it's just a nice add to the team. So I'm really happy with the draft. What were your thoughts on it? You know, if you had to say happy, sad, kind of happy, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm giving it a big smiley face, Nick. You know, if I'm doing an emoji for it, it's one of those big cheesy.
The full cheese?
The full cheese. Full cheese? I'm always going to be happy when it comes to Sean Marks. He's a Kiwi. You know, I can't not love him. I can't not love him. You know, when we were talking about him at Thanksgiving, it's one of my favorite episodes, and I can't help but be thankful for him, whatever he does, you know. Maybe it's somewhere between the cheese and between the sort of just the typical smile, because, you know, the cheese would have been like, you know, if we got Michael Porter Jr., that would have been like full cheese and maybe like
that would have been like five heart emojis.
That would have been like, you know, the lover on the eyes emoji as well. That would have been I feel like there wouldn't be enough emojis to describe that. But at the same time, you know, I'm really happy. My emoji game reflects that. And I feel like if you're a Nets fan, There's every reason to be happy going forward, because these guys are going to be some nice pieces for us, and they're going to fit in well. They want to do well. They're saying all the right things, and let's just see how they perform in summer league. It's only a couple of weeks away now, so really exciting times ahead.
Yeah, and you could probably throw in, like, the Mozgov-Howard trade is technically still part of draft night because they did trade pick 45 and a future second-round pick. So if you want to include that in there, that definitely moves it up to heart emojis getting rid of Mozgov. And if you want to check out our show on that, we brought on some Charlotte guys, Evan Dial, Dylan Jackson, to talk about that. But, Jack, anything else on the draft before we get out of here?
Look, I'm just happy as a Nets fan. You know, the fact that we can do something so well with such a little sort of on our plates, you know, pick 29, pick 22, you know, picks in the 20s. You know, this is technically a pick that we got. This is technically the Toronto pick for Damari Carroll. Yeah. We have Damari Carroll and Janan Musa for taking on Damari Carroll's contract.
A guy who has been great for us in terms of on the court, off the court, and culture, and just setting the right example. I mean, the Damari Carroll trade, I would give that A++++++.
And you get a free player who has untapped potential, probably a phrase that I've used a million times. You know, it's just something that, you know, Sean Marks, he just continues to do the right things. You know, I feel like he hasn't really done anything. You know, people have questioned sort of Coach Kenny sort of coaching at times and with reason. But a lot of things that Sean Marks seems to be doing are getting tick, 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 like you're saying.
Yeah, the only thing I think you could probably say about Marks people would question is the Allen Crabb contract, and that's, you know, that's a toss-up, you know, depending on what you want. And the Nets being in the situation they are, I don't think it was that bad. And honestly, I don't think what Kenny does is that bad, because I still think he's developing and the roster isn't amazing. And I think people are kind of overblown on that. But Nets for another day. Jack, as always, great show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Check us out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com.